I have to say, what a capable and good-looking song leader that was. It is good to be with you, always. An awesome responsibility to have a segment of your time and your lives to try to bring some topic to you that will encourage you. Last time I spoke to you, I said I just wanted to encourage you and hope that's what I did. I noticed that last Sunday evening, Marty spoke a good deal about courage, and I thought that this evening I might go ahead and talk about courage with the idea of dispelling two of the myths that are commonly associated with the idea of courage, and I think myths that could do some real harm. And that's why I thought I might take some time this evening to talk about courage and set this before you again, this idea. You know, if you look at the Bible and what it has to say about courage, there's a great deal. This is the end of my slideshow. That's not going to help much. Let's try it start at the beginning. One reference that talks about the essence of where this issue is in us and in our lives, to show that it's a heart issue, is Psalm 27 and verse 14, where it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This is a heart issue, and it's about making your heart stronger, the idea of courage. If you go to a dictionary, though, and try to get a definition of this, and I admit I've talked a lot about courage without defining the term for you, which is usually a dangerous thing. If you look for the definition, you might come up with something like this. And I got this from the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, normally a pretty reliable source. And it says here that the courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc. without fear. And then it also defines it as, with a synonym, bravery. The only problem that I have with this is that in many senses, it's just wrong. It's wrong, and it goes to support one of the myths about fear that I think is very potentially dangerous, especially to our young folks. To think that courage is the absence of fear is a model that will not work for you very often. There may be a few folks who face a situation of pending evil or danger, some sort of a personal threat that is imminent, and not feel any fear. Now, sometimes it's because they're too ignorant to realize what the situation is that they're in. It's just no brain, no pain. Did you ever hear about that one? That happens sometimes. You just don't realize, so there's no fear. But there are other times when there are people that are just so focused and so sure of themselves, even though the situation is threatening, there is absolutely no fear present in them. That happens very rarely. And for most folks, it is not true that courage is the absence of fear. I think it's real important to talk about this because there may be some, especially of our younger folks, who are faced with situations that are presenting this kind of feel this kind of a response welling up. I feel afraid in this situation. It's a real problem if you think that because you feel afraid, you're a coward. That is not the truth. If you feel fear, don't think that you are not brave and that you are not courageous. There's another layer to that that you've got to consider. Courage is not the absence of fear. As a matter of fact, to dispel that myth, I would assert to you that courage can only be found in the presence of fear. Fear has to be there for then courage to come forth. Let me explain what I mean. You get into a situation, and for some reason, you start to feel fear. You start to feel afraid. And there are all sorts of ways that this can happen in your life. And this feeling goes on. And this feeling wells up. And you feel it almost coming to the point where it's taking control of you. I assert to you that that is a natural thing for that to happen. A definition of what's happening to classify this kind of a response Fear is a distressing emotion. It's an emotion. It's an emotional response to a situation. It is aroused by some sort of impending danger or evil or pain or something like the three of those. And it can happen whether that threat is real or just imagined. Real or just somehow in your mind it is coming upon you. This fear is an emotional response to a situation. Another definition, it is the feeling or condition of being afraid. When you feel this, that does not mean that you are a coward. It does not necessarily mean that you are brave either. There's more that needs to happen. And this is the next layer. In this scenario of feeling the fear, whatever has brought it about, there are now two reactions to the fear. Now, the first one, cowardice, is in the face of this fear to do nothing or to do the wrong thing. And especially as we're talking in a biblical setting, to do nothing or to do the wrong thing would be to do the opposite of what God would have you to do in a situation, a moral situation. That's cowardice. Fear, and then the wrong action. But in that same scenario of fear now, when that emotion comes upon you and is pressing against you, you can display courage, and courage in this situation is defined as, in the face of this fear, doing the right thing. Do you get that definition of courage? Courage is not the absence of fear, but in the presence of fear, doing what is appropriate, doing the right thing. This is what real courage is, and this is a good scenario in which to set these two and look at them. Courage on the one hand, cowardice on the other. I think it's interesting to take this framework and to go back to the stretch of Scripture that you've been studying so much in the adult class in the main auditorium here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, most of you know that's the story of David and Goliath. And there's probably no better example of courage in a difficult situation than young David standing up to the veteran warrior Goliath. It's fun to me to take some of these characters and take this framework or this model of what real courage is and see how folks stack up. You see Goliath, the great warrior of the Philistines, coming out, doing exactly what his people expected him to do, showing a type of courage, a courage that we later see, though, is based on his size, is based on his experience, is based on his armament and his armor that he's wearing. It's based on all of those worldly and physical things. But you'd have to say that in this scenario, he is acting with courage. Whether he feels fear or not, it doesn't go on to say. He just seemed like he was pretty full of himself, but he's up there and he's doing what he's supposed to do. It says, though, in the Scriptures that all the men of Israel, Goliath would come out and make his challenge for 40 days, despite their number, despite the rewards that were being offered by the king for the man who would stand up to and best this giant, in spite of all of that, in spite of the repeated attempts that they had to obey and to overcome this certainly fear that would present themselves, it says every man in Israel, all the men of Israel, were afraid. In the face of this fear, they would not step up and they would not best this man who was defying the army of the living God. And when it says all the men of Israel, it must include as well the king of Israel, King Saul. I don't know if it occurs to you when you study that story, but if the Philistines were going to make this challenge and put up their giant, who would be the logical one to answer the challenge from Israel? Who was it that stood head and shoulders taller than the rest of the Israelites? Who was it that should have been the military leader of the Israelites? King Saul was the one. But it lists him as being, of course, a man of Israel and someone who then, by this statement, was afraid. All the men of Israel were afraid, and so was he. In this situation of feeling fear, he did not stand up. He did not do the right thing. And that's cowardice. And then there's young David, who happens to be making a delivery on one of these days that the challenge is being made. And as he's listening, he's included, I would think, in this all men of Israel who were afraid. But as he starts to think about this challenge, he's amazed that none of the Israelites have withstood the challenge. None of them have stepped up to best this warrior. And instead of being paralyzed by the fear and in not acting as all the rest of the men were, he acts. And he decides that he can go ahead, and he's got enough ability. More important than that, that God would be with him if he went against this Philistines, and God would give the Philistine into his hand. In the presence of the fear, he acted, and he did the godly thing. And that's courage, and that's the real courage. Not like Goliath's courage that's based on his physical size, his physical armament, his years of being a warrior. This is a faith-based courage based on his knowledge of God and that God would be with him. There's another coward I'd pick out in this study, and that was David's brother, who not only was paralyzed with fear, as all the rest of the men were, but also was so threatened by David, his younger brother, stepping up to face the challenge, that he tried to discourage David and to belittle him, to disparage him for his youth and malign his motives, that he was just here trying to make a fuss and get people to notice him. An interesting kind of cowardice there as well. You know the end of this story, being the Bible students that you are. You know to whom the victory was given. Do you also know that because of the courage of David in this overwhelming situation, because he acted and did the right thing despite of the fear that he felt, the rest of the army of the Israelites were encouraged to go on and to win that battle that day. And the rest of the Philistines were discouraged that day when they saw their champion fall. Amazing example of courage, of in the presence of fear, doing the right thing. You know, there's an application for us in all of this. Of course, why else would I bring it up? Can you develop a faith like David's? Can you, in the presence of fear, as it presents itself in your life, can you put your trust not necessarily in the physical, those things that are temporary, those things that are passing away, but can you respect God and have faith in God that he will deliver you? And in the face of the fear, can you bring yourself to do the right thing? Don't think that because you feel fear, you're a coward. It depends in the presence of that fear what you do. If you don't act, if you don't do the right thing, you may very well be showing cowardice in that situation. But if you can step up despite the fear and do the right thing, and especially the godly thing in a moral situation, that is true biblical courage. Now, I told you there were two myths that I wanted to dispel. The first one is that courage is the absence of fear. The second myth is that courage only applies in these huge, momentous crises that we come up against. Things like matters of life and death, things like war and military experiences, and that's the realm of courage. And there's no other application for us. That's a myth as well. Courage is needed. The truth is, courage is needed in the everyday affairs of life. And every one of us probably needs this every day. in some way. You know, if you make a list of the top fears for most people, you'll find things like this. This is probably the top four fears. If we were just to take a survey of this group, I bet these would be the top of the list. Fear of public speaking. For some folks, the idea of getting up in front of others and having to make any kind of a presentation, maybe even a reading or a prayer, is something that is just brings those emotions up. And they feel very nervous about something like that. It's a normal reaction, really. Fear of failure. I don't know if I can succeed in that thing. And when I think about putting myself in a situation where I'm not sure I can succeed, I might fail, I get afraid. It's a normal reaction. Fear of the unknown. I just don't know what would happen. I might lose control of the situation if I try a certain thing. And that unknown scares me. And then one of the great ones, fear of death. All of these things can overwhelm us, can bring this emotional fear response upon us. It's a natural thing, and it does not mean anything. We've got to look to what we do then. Feeling that fear of all of these things, do we get paralyzed by that? Do we not go ahead and do the right thing? Do we stop and we take another path? That's not the way. And if in these everyday affairs of life, whenever we feel nervous or afraid about something, if we just take another course that will avoid that fear, our reality isn't going to be what the Lord would have it to be. But when we are faced with these scenarios, if we step up, and even though we're afraid, even though we're scared, if we do the right thing, if we do the godly thing, if we see that fear and face it and go on and do what we're called to do, that's courage. And that's the kind of courage the Bible's talking about. I was going to give you some examples of this from my own experience. And you know, I was thinking, they're pretty lousy examples, teacher examples of courage, you know. They might go ahead to show you that I guess everybody needs courage, but I was thinking, in the face of fear, doing the right thing, you might just ask some people around here what it's like to have courage and how important it is in daily life. You might ask Bob Chapman about some business decisions that he's had to make and some places where he's had a fear response. I bet you he'd tell you he's had a couple. You could ask Mike Toomer what it's like to lose a ship. I bet he'd have a story about how there was a little fear that would come up in a situation like that. You might ask my brother Isaac about some of his military experiences. You might ask my brother Isaac or my brother Patty about moving his family to an entirely new continent to set up shop there. You might ask Jeremy about the work that he does. You might ask Jack about hearing the words, it's cancer, and we're going to have to treat it. And you might ask everybody else, because I'm sure everybody here has got a story about how somewhere in your life there was something that rose up and you felt this fear response. Don't think that if you feel fear, you're a coward. That's not what indicates whether you're a coward or brave. It's when you feel that fear, what do you do? And know that if whenever you feel that, if you can just press on and do the right thing, no matter how hard it is, you're displaying the kind of biblical courage that the Lord wants you to have, the Lord needs you to have, in order to do His will, in order to face this wicked world, in order to overcome and be with Him throughout eternity. Well, I wanted to dispel those two myths. You've listened very well. And I wonder who here this evening needs now to have the courage to start to live for Jesus. I want to, before we do that, I've got one thing I want to share with you, and this is a poem that I've found that means a lot to me. It was written by a woman named Amelia Earhart. Do you remember that name? Famous female aviator in the very early days of aviation. She wrote this poem entitled Courage, and it really sticks with me. What a great definition of what courage is. Listen to this. See if you can catch it. It's like a lot of poetry. It's pretty thick and hard to understand. Courage is the price that life exacts for granting peace. The soul that knows it not knows no release from little things, knows not the vivid loneliness of fear, nor mountain heights where bitter joy can hear the sound of wings. How can life grant us boon of living, compensate for dull gray ugliness or pregnant hate, unless we dare the soul's dominion? Each time we make a choice, we pay with courage to behold the restless day and count it fair. Every time we make a choice, we pay with courage whether or not we're going to enjoy a good day that day. You know, it takes courage to confess your faults one to another. It takes courage to stand up and come to the front of a group like this. That's the kind of the courage that the Lord requires us to have. And if you've not yet confessed Jesus before God and before man, if you've not yet been baptized and you have sinned, then it's appropriate and it would be right for you to display courage and come forward while we stand and while we sing.